General things like that that help me get through my day.
Before you head out, get together with our traffic and weather. Traffic and weather all day. Stay informed with El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show. And historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Three, two, one, Sergio, there you are. We're on the air, I think. I heard myself. But Melissa Sargent, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's put Melissa on the air now, see what happens with that.
Yes, let's try that as my microphone starts to fade away from me here.
You never know around here what's going to happen on live radio. And we prove it every Saturday morning.
That's right.
Hey, it's history, and it's El Paso history today. And we're going to talk about some regional stuff here. But as always, we need to tell people that the thing we say is that Texas history actually begins in El Paso. And the rest of the state can take it or leave it, but because
it's
true.
We don't care.
We really don't care.
They're ornery.
Well, they don't care about us. it's a fair deal. But you can find us on 690 KTSM AM, as always, but there's another secret place.
Well, you can go to – it's not quite that secret.
No, it's not secret
anymore. We want everybody to know about it. And it's called ktsmradio.com, or you can go to the iHeartRadio app and pick it up and put it on your phone, your tablet, or your computer, where you can listen to this radio show and many other wonderful radio shows live around the world in the space. Who knows? Since now they're looking back into, UFOs? They perhaps space aliens are listening to us.
The answer is yes. It's out there. Whatever.
Abby, I think a group of our friends can be aliens.
I think they are. And yes. Maybe we're the aliens.
I think so some days.
However, we do have trivia today as well.
Yes,
correct?
We do. Uh-huh. Yes, we have trivia. And it's for two trivia questions with the correct answers. We'll get a $20 certificate to Pepe's Fine New Mexican Food up in Canutillo.
And we're going to go. You're going to do lunch today?
I'm going to do lunch. Bertie's going to be there at lunch today.
We've got a whole crowd going to lunch today. Also, the whole deal today is, you have a history moment.
Yes, I do. Oh. We're going to be talking about one of the biggest real estate deals for the South, I guess for the Southwest, I would say, is probably one of the best deals with Mexico. Considering it's been real interesting what's been going into the news with Mexico right now.
So we're going to talk historically about a real estate deal that's already occurred.
Land deal of the ages, yes.
Okay, what do we do now? Oh, we talk about the people that are in the room.
Oh, our guests,
almost have a studio audience here. There's four people in here. Two of them are guests and two of them are audience, I think. I'm not sure. You guys can talk if you want to. But we want to welcome here this morning Tommy Harrell and Joe Lewandowski. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
And your wives. Introduce your wives, if you would.
My wife of 61 years, Josette.
Good morning.
Wave, Josette.
For a while.
Wave on the radio.
Yeah, wave.
And Deb,
where everybody can see you.
And Deb, my wife and boss for 44 years.
Yes, 44 that's right.
Years. A lot of longevity here. Okay, 43, look out. But okay,
she's a chairman of the board.
Why are these people here? They're all from Alamogordo.
That's right.
And that being the case, we're going to talk about the history of Alamogordo. It's really kind of cool because the Tularosa Basin Historical Society is actually in Alamogordo.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, but that just confuses you to begin with.
Well, not unless you're from the area. But if you're from the area, you don't get that confused because Tularosa Basin covers everything from El Paso to, almost to Albuquerque. So that's a good bit of distance and a good bit of area. So
it's a great thing. But I went looking for your museum in Tularosa.
Oh, well.
The first time. And I thought, no, that's that one in Alamogordo. Okay, I know. I've been here for forever.
Well, that shows you don't know too much about the history of the Tularosa Basin.
But I'm learning. That was 20 years ago.
Now does.
No, I figured that out 20 years ago. But now.
Oh, okay.
Then you moved it across the street.
Well, we did. And so very fortunately, I'm Tommy Harrell. I'm a vice president of the Historical Museum there in Alamogordo, the Tularosa Basin Historical Society. And so a few years ago, about 4 years ago, we were lucky enough to acquire the property where the old Plaza Bar and Plaza Cafe were in the center of Alamogordo, and as it was at the hub of Alamogordo at the time.
Was that also a hotel?
No, it
just
was
a
never
restaurant?
Hotel.
Okay, bar.
It was just a restaurant and bar. The original bar that was built there was built by the Eddie brothers, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, we'll get into some of the history and go from there.
Fair enough. There's a lot. Banksy banging on the table.
He's banging on the table.
That's okay. That's,
he likes to make a point.
You need to understand, Tommy, that this is steam-powered radio. And we just work with it, you know, as it goes. Oh, you're on the air? Fine. That's cool. But there's a lot going on here we need to talk about from the history of the area. Joe, there's a million things you want to say, I know. But do you want to go back to, like, the geology kind of thing and start there?
How far would you like to go back?
Why are there white sands?
Okay, but we'll have to go out 250 billion years for that.
Okay.
So basically, the basin was started forming about 250 billion years ago. What happened was that it was all under a shallow sea at one time. At 100 million years ago, the water started...
Keep going.
The water started going... recede, and that's where the white sands was formed, as the basin, the mountains actually formed and climbed upward, upheaval, as they call it, and the basin went down.
But so the point was that the sands came out of what kind of crunch?
The sands are from, they're gypsum and calcium sulfate.
Your microphone may go west here in a second. Sir, give us some advice on the mic, would you please? Yes or no? Well, keep going, I guess.
Okay. It's formed a gypsum and calcium.
Stop. Okay, stop. Grab the next. Sergio, we need to do this. Grab the next mic. Sorry.
There we go.
That.
How about that?
There we go. Now we can hear
I'd
you.
I'd like to figure this out before we get on the air sometime. That would be a real good idea.
I have
idea.
A hammer in the car.
Okay. Joe Lewandowski, go ahead.
It makes it more exciting that way.
Well, it makes it like, what the hell are they going to do now?
Do sign language on air.
Everything goes right. It's kind of boring, actually.
That's how we work.
Okay.
This is Joe Lewandowski starting all over, but go ahead.
Okay. Basically, the basin formed over 250 million years ago. It was under a shallow sea, as they call it back then. With that, it started changing where the sea started receding. And that's why there's even actually little seashells and things you'll spot out there at different times. Also, that when it receded, the mountains and the underneath started changing. There was the upheaval of the mountains went up, and then the basin went down. You'll see the lava fields, the Malpais north of there.
That's right. There's a bunch of them.
Right. You'll notice that they're just strictly north.
Those are fairly recent, though, aren't they?
Yeah, and some of that came out of that time. And what happened was that there was a lot of volcanic action under there, too, causing that shifting and all that. So that's where that comes. Now, the white sand itself is not sand, not like sand as you would think it would be. It's not like quartz, as most sand is. It's gypsum and calcium sulfate. If you've ever been out to white sands, you know it's real soft and it's real cool. Even no matter how hot the day it is, the sand itself is really cool because it doesn't absorb the sun. It actually reflects the sun.
So we're talking about the Tularosa Basin, and the white sands is sitting in the middle of that basin.
Actually, it's the lowest point of the basin.
So is there where water's under there?
There's water under there, yeah. It's not water you want to deal with because it's so bad.
And salty?
Salty and alkali, all kinds of stuff. In fact, if you go to Alamogordo, you'll see a landfill right next to the highway as you go in there. We call it Mount Trashmore.
Oh.
That landfill there, where we built that 23 years ago, we tested the water there. It got with the environmental department and everything else, and it actually came out that if we had ran the water through the garbage first, it would have been cleaner than what was in the ground already.
Oh, my God. So what are you guys drinking on Alamogordo?
Oh, no. We have plenty of good water.
Where do you get it?
The mountains. It's the
not in that bottle. No, come on. But, no, it comes down from...
It comes out of the mountains and up there. There is, the water area in Otero County, only about 4% of the groundwater is actually... good water in that manner. And we've actually built a desalination plant in Alamogordo that they're testing and everything else.
Those work. Got one.
Yeah, they're working on that. They have that in place. We've had the federal pilot desalination where people come from it all over the world and actually test their different theories on out here because our water is really good. If you clean that up, that bad water that's out there, then you can clean up water anywhere.
But that Tularosa Creek that comes down through into Tularosa, you drink all that. That doesn't go anywhere, does it?
It pretty well spreads out and dissipates there. The Tularosa, they're Sakias are still are active there. They still use them to water. You go through Tularosa at different times of the, and you'll see the yards all flooded from the drainage ditch, irrigation ditches, or acequias, as they call it.
Does that little creek ever go dry?
It has. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it has at different times. But normally there's something running out of it coming out of there, coming through Mescalero, coming down the hill.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, Tommy, what are your thoughts on the history of the geology?
Well, the geology is going back to the White Sands and so forth. There is a lake at White Sands called Lake Lucero. And back at the turn of the century, well, the 1900s, early 1900s, it was actually big enough that people actually sailed sailboats and so forth on that water.
Wow.
So most people don't realize how big that lake was and how much water is in that district. So anyway, you can go out and typically dig anywhere out on the White Sands, and within 3 foot of the surface, you'll find water that will absorb up to the top of the ground.
But you can't really drink it if you find it.
No, it's full of alkaline and so forth. I mean, that's how the gypsums were formed, and from that alkali and into the water and into the mix, you know.
Well, with the geology as a background, people now realize, okay, this is Alamogordo, New Mexico. White Sands is part of your deal. What else do you think of when you think of Alamogordo? What do you think of your assets? I look at Holloman as part of you. What else do you look at?
Well, our biggest thing is the weather and the climate that we have in the surrounding area. And we're so close to the mountain base that, you know, we're only 19 miles from Clydecroft. We're about 45 miles from, Ruidoso. And so it's kind of a pooling place for people to come through and kind of a traffic area going, El Paso, the north. I mean, the north boundary to the mountains and into to the upper terrain as far as in that area. But there's go ahead.
Well, that's the same pass that the Indians took, that the cowboys took. You still drive on I-70 now to go up to Ruidoso, right?
Well, this is exactly true. 54 and so forth leads from El Paso, and especially Las Cruces. They centered in Alamogordo and went right on in. But, going back to Alamogordo, and one reason we're doing this is it wasn't actually planned and so forth and developed until 1898. And, in fact, the first plat was filed on June the 6th of 1898, and the first lots were sold in that same time period. And so that's when Alamogordo was formed by the Eddy brothers, and then also the village of Clydecroft was formed at the same time. So there really wasn't much there before the township was filed.
When you buy a lot in that day, you buy it from the railroad, right?
Right. Well, from the railroad, what they call
real estate company,
right,
or whatever.
The company.
Because that's how the railroads made their money. They were granted so much acreage on their route, right?
Right.
Yeah. In fact, the company that they had, it was the Alamogordo Improvement Company is what it was. In fact, they're still, they can't find that corporation very much. In fact, we're talking about redoing our courthouse there, and they had talked about moving it somewhere else. And when they got through going through the deeds and everything, they realized it had a reverter clause that if the courthouse wasn't there anymore, it reverted back to the Alamogordo Improvement Company.
Oh, man, were those lawyers
really
good.
And then the county attorney called me and says, "Can you tell me where these guys are?" And I'm like, "They must be somewhere because they're still on the state Secretary of State."
So you had Alamogordo basically started as a railroad town, and now evolved into a major part of the United States space effort with the White Sands Missile Range. You got Holloman there testing stuff all the time. Because Holloman was not and is not just an Air Force base. I mean, that's where they trained the chimpanzees. They had that rocket sled. See, I know a fair amount about your city. And the whole idea of that history is what we need to talk about, because you have a lot of this in your museum.
Oh, yeah. We've kind of hit on everything we can there. We don't try to compete with the other local museums in the area, but way before Alamogordo, there was other communities that sprouted up there, and the basin itself never really developed through the Spanish era when the Spaniards were here. They all stayed along the El Camino Trail, the Rio Grande, and that area because the water was there.
Well, did the Spaniards build that little church in Tularosa?
Yes, that was the one thing I was getting to, is the La Luz, actually.
Oh.
And La Luz, they came over and built that church there, Our Lady of the Light. So they actually, at least that's what they believe, in 1719 is when that church.
That sounds Spanish.
Yeah, and that was built there, and it leads to what you're talking about, how they cut across the mountains to get over to the other side, over to the Roswell, Carlsbad side of the mountain.
Interesting stuff. We got to take a break here, because we're going to do this to you several times during the hour, because they have to sell soap, and that's why we're allowed to do this.
But yeah, bubble soap, yes.
Well, whatever it may be. But the thing is, we're talking about, it's an interesting set of history that people quite often drive past, and I'm recommending to you that when you get the chance, stop in. Because the Alamogordo Museum, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Tularosa Basin Historical Society runs the museum, and the name of the official name of the museum is, Joe?
Tularosa Basin Museum of History.
Okay, and that covers everything we're talking about here. How far south do you claim, Oro Grande?
No, it goes all the way to the Texas line, pretty much, the basin, because the basin covers a lot of area, but the actual bowl of the basin is from the Tularosa, the Texas line to almost Carrizozo. You don't realize you're going uphill to Carrizozo or going uphill to El Paso, but you really are when you come out of Alamogordo.
How about that? We'll talk more about this. Melissa, should we take a break?
I think we should take a break.
We should probably do this and come back and talk more about this because the history in that area is fabulous.
Oh, it's amazing. It's got everything.
It's incredibly intertwined with El Paso, Texas.
And it's a beautiful town up there. I mean, if you get a chance to go through Tularosa, it's just gorgeous. The trees, and the old town section, which is kind of off the main highway. You get over there and you're like, oh, look at this. This is really cool.
And they have a museum in Alamogordo now. We're going to tell you why and how to get involved in that.
That's right.
Taking a break here. Call us if you'd like to. And the number would be
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text SCHOOL to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text SCHOOL to 35517. That's SCHOOL to 35517.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and here are this week's top podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
Number 5.
The Breakfast Club.
Number 4.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Number 3.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Number 2.
The Ron Burgundy Podcast.
Number 1.
Life Will Be the Death of Me with Chelsea Handler.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Handler. Welcome to Life Will Be the Death of Me, a production of iHeartRadio.
Check out these and all of your favorite podcasts all free on the iHeartRadio app. Number 1 for podcasts.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot of history going on, tell you about in El Paso. All the segments of our recent ABC 7 series on El Paso History TV are now online at YouTube. Go to El Paso, go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, and you will see 8 segments of the man known as Bernie Sargent. Put that mic on over here if we could, Sergio. Where are we? There we are.
Am I there? Oh, yeah, there I am.
You're back again.
That was probably Bernie arranged that.
Did Bernie do
turn
that?
Turn her mic off.
But Bernie is on TV, and we're going to do it again this week, starting on Wednesday.
That's
at
right.
5 p.m. and 6 p.m., not 10. 5 and 6, there are 2 new segments coming.
Oh, so they're not going to do 10 o'clock?
No, it's at 6, 5 and 6.
Oh, cool.
This week on Wednesday, ABC 7 will air the next one that we have cooked up, and it's on Sarco.
So you can, and you can also TiVo it or record it, so if you have to be out or about, you can always catch it that way, too.
5 p.m., 6 p.m., 2 segments, basically making one total segment, and they cut them in half and run them one each. But it's going to be about Sarco. And we took the drone over there and showed you what's not there. You know, look at this wide shot. But I also have the airplane shot previous when the whole smelter was there. So we did a little comparison about flying around over there. But the whole idea of Asarco was weird. And anyway, that's what's coming up Wednesday night at 5 and 6 in each segment they'll have any new show, they'll have a segment. But also, I've got to let you know, I want to thank Ray Baca, our man who does things.
Ray's so good.
Ray's good. He keeps us alive here. Another 2019 lecture series on June the 1st. That would be today. I think they cooked this up yesterday. The Archaeology of Northwest Costa Rica, because this wasn't online before yesterday, I don't think.
Costa Rica?
Yes.
George, I would like to be in Costa Rica.
George Maloof likes Costa Rica.
I don't blame him.
He's going to tell you this if you go out there today at 2, a perspective from the southern periphery of Mesoamerica at 2 p.m. at the Museum of Archaeology. Okay, your turn.
Okay, it's Lights Out in Alamogordo. Tonight's Saturday, June 1st, has been declared Lights Out Alamogordo, and all citizens are encouraged to turn off non-essential outside lights this evening.
Did they know this? Did you guys know this? Oh, they knew it. Okay.
They knew.
They're all like,
they're cool.
You know, I know. They're on board with us, and I think it's a great idea. This is in support of the Great Southwest Star Party, and it's being held at the New Mexico Museum of Space History this weekend. And Alamogordo's Mayor Richard Boss is encouraging all citizens to turn out non-essential exterior lights at 9 p.m. in order to reduce light pollution from the city. And then tomorrow, they're going to have, the public is invited to this one, which is tomorrow, June 2nd. They're going to join the astronomers at the museum's theater at 6 p.m. for a special presentation by Museum Executive Director Chris Orwell. And he's going to have a special party following that is open to the public. And this is all going to happen around 8:30 for the party. And this is the New Mexico Museum of Space History. And they're a Smithsonian affiliate, which a lot of people don't realize. And it's a great museum, I'll tell you. I think even going out there for tonight to see the stars would be a lot of fun because it's a great place
to
be.
And there's another thing tomorrow night they cooked up with.
Yeah, the party and everything. I think that's wonderful. And that theater out there is incredible. I've been there with my grandkids, and it's wonderful. So head on out there. And if you have questions, you can go to website for NewMexicoSpaceMuseum.org. Or go to their Facebook page, which is NM Space Museum.
And Chris will be here at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Talking to him. But the things about Alamogordo, you need to stop on your way to Redoso or wherever you're going up 54. Because the museum is right there in the middle of Alamogordo. I would call that the center of Alamogordo.
You can't miss it.
Joe Lewandowski.
Yeah, it's pretty much, in fact, the plaza was the center of all the activities. It was the downtown area, and it was everybody came to the bar and the restaurant and everything else there. It was the place to get your pies and everything else.
I remember eating there as a kid. My grandmother would drive across the desert at about 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It took us 3 days to get to Redoso. Yeah. And by the time we got to that plaza, I was hungry.
Your radiator bag.
No, we already stopped in Oro Grande before lunch. And then
well,
this was.
I bet you had a radiator bag.
Let me say this. I've got a little sentimental attachment to this.
Tommy Harrigan.
And in fact, my uncle owned that restaurant back in 1946 after he got out of the service at Holloman. And stayed in Alamogordo and bought the restaurant and so forth. And when we moved there in 1950, and I'm kind of telling my age here a little bit, but I've been a resident of Alamogordo ever since 1950. But my first job was washing dishes at the old cafe in 1952.
In that building?
In that building.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, anyway, I had to stand on a Coke case to reach the bottom of the pot pan to wash dishes. And then I actually ended up working there for about 7 years all the way through high school. As a cook for the restaurant. And so a good friend of mine that moved to Alamogordo later, Jimmy Randall, actually became a friend of mine and a real close friend. And he and I both cooked there through the summers. And we talk about that summer market from people going to Ruidoso, and that was the hot spot when they first opened the racetrack in Ruidoso back in 1952. So anyway, I've got some nostalgia tied to that building and so forth. And
you've been on the way for a long time. Now, people need to make that a destination because walk in the front door and tell me what you see. Start. We just do a quick tour of the museum. What's the first thing we get?
Well, when you first come in and so forth, when you come into the old Plaza Bar location and so forth, and when we remodeled that, we made that the main entrance to the museum. And to the left, we've actually built a gift shop that's very amusing to customers of ours, and we try and do a lot of local artwork and so forth, the Indian artwork and jewelry and so forth.
We bought 4 coffee mugs in your store.
Well, there you go. And then from there, you go into it, and so it's kind of a tour and a self-guided tour and so forth, but it starts out with the prehistoric time. In fact, I'm going to let Joe, he's more familiar with this because he's actually did the planning and so forth and laid out all of the the areas and so forth, and he knows more about the museum than I will ever know.
Well, Joe, you're actually a full-time employee of your company, right? This is extra.
I'm self-employed, so I could sway. And when I said I introduced my wife and boss, I actually meant that because she's the manager of the museum. So I'm the guy that changes the light bulbs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, laying out the museum, though, you go in the bark area. That's like the front part. And you got the little gift shop on the left, which is cool as can be.
Yeah, basically, when you come in, like I said, you come through the original bar doors and the gift shops to the left, you'll see an imprint where the original bar used to be. It was your typical Old West type bars, the big log bar with the back bar and the whole bit. Real beautiful. We have pictures of what it was there so you could see it. Then you go on, you enter the museum through by the docents there. The first thing on the left when you go in is a research area, which that's one of the things we're most proud of, is that research area. It's not just a museum with old stuff in it. It's got all the history there that anybody, if you're looking for things, can come there. So I'll talk more about the research area.
Well, you hit the highlights down the hallway. We'll come back and pick them apart. Right. We're going to take another break. What are the highlights? I mean, you got the tar games.
Well, you go right down to the ancient past of the Native Americans all the way up to, and it kind of jumps because of the way the building's laid out, into the military aerospace area. Then it goes into the beginning of Alamogordo, the railroad, the lumber, all the local stories, including Andy also has the Atari in there, as you said. It's not real history, old history, but it is history.
I got to encapsulate that before we take a break. Atari games, what's that got to do with Alamogordo?
Basically, warehouses out of El Paso emptied out into Alamogordo's landfill in 1983.
Atari decided to put them in the landfill?
Yes, 3.2 billion games.
And so you knew where they were buried in the landfill?
I knew sort of where they were buried, yeah.
You were the guy?
It wasn't that easy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're digging through 20-year-old trash or whatever?
30-year-old trash.
30-year-old trash.
Hey.
How exciting is that? I mean, your goal is an Atari game, and that's what you were doing?
Well, looking for the Ataris to prove the legend that it actually happened.
Yeah, because it was like a legend for many, many years to those having been built out or buried out there, correct?
Right.
Was there concrete poured over it, supposedly?
Yeah, there was concrete poured over it. And, yeah. What turned into it was just the urban legend that the internet
urban
turned
legend.
It into an urban legend. And the internet, with everybody in the world knew about it, but they knew nothing
did
about
you
it.
And that was what, from 1983 was when they buried him to 2014 was when they finally dug him up, right?
Right.
You dug him up?
A lot of people dug him up. I told them I pointed where to dig at.
So who owned them when they came out of the ground?
The city of Alamogordo. Okay. We had to deal with the city.
So did you buy your old Atari games back from the dump?
No. We sold the Ataris. The deal, what I had worked out with the city is we'll dig them, we'll sell them on eBay, and then the money would get split up where we decided where it would go. And the money was dispersed through different things in Alamogordo. I don't know if you want to get into that.
No, but I mean, nonprofit good stuff. I mean, you didn't put it in your pocket.
Oh, no. We didn't make a penny.
No, that's cool. We don't make sure you're clean here.
That was cool, though. I mean,
life goes on. I mean, but that's, and you got those in the museum now.
Yeah, there's some of it there.
Yeah, because that was the games were E.T. Because there was a lot. I was reading up on that last night, and there was a lot of failure and a lot of problems with that. It was real interesting, the background on that whole game and everything.
Why did they dump them? Why did they put them in the dump?
Well, did you want to go into that deep right now?
No, I didn't. All right, we'll come back after the break.
We'll do that.
We'll ask you a dumb question.
It was fascinating,
after the break about what the heck that was all about.
It was a bad financial blunder, let's put it that way.
But can you go back and get more and make money? That's what my concern is.
That's no.
Oh, I see.
They'll never dug up.
All right, call us if you want to. On the phone, we're taking a break. Right, Serky, are you okay in there? Everything. Oh, by the way, thank you in there. Call up Shelly because she's brand new back.
Yeah, she's back. She's been lounging on the beach somewhere,
well,
I think.
She's been doing things that you didn't want to do, but she did them, and so now she's here. But thank you, Shelly, for being here in the call screening department. Call her up. And the other man in there, we know who he is.
Sergio Valenzuela.
He's 20 scores a goal.
Yeah, he's a soccer.
And there's his fans in there.
I think we need to change him to cricket. I was watching cricket on TV this morning, so we're going to change him to a cricket player.
Good luck with that.
I don't think
that's going to work. But let's throw the phone number out if they can't call it.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier? Softer, fatter. We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word SPUNK to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text SPUNK to 797979. Text SPUNK to 797979.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye with an absolutely free consultation. Text START to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use advanced FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK for as low as $220 per eye. Text START to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's START to 350350.
The iHeartRadio app has become number one for podcasts, with a catalog that has exploded to over 250,000 of the best podcasts from around the globe. iHeartRadio now lets you follow your favorite podcasts to get real-time updates when new episodes drop. Plus, you can set your podcast to auto-download episodes, so you always have the latest on your phone waiting for you to listen, even if you don't have a connection. And it's all yours for free. Get the entire universe of audio with one touch. Your music, your stations, and now number one for podcasts.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
A lot of history going on. We got people calling on the phone, and we'll get to them in a second. I'd love stuff to tell you about the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. They are excited. It's in their news release. It says the word excited in their news release.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh,
they're announcing longer hours for the summer season beginning Thursday, June the 6th. They're open until 9 p.m. every Thursday through August. It's a big deal. They got new stuff going on out there. It puts their hours of operation in line with the rest of their museums. But it's at 4301 Trans Mountain Road, sits at the base of the Franklins, covers more than 14,000 years of prehistory, and it's really cool. 212-0421. Give them a holler. We got more to tell you about the Archaeology Museum, do we not?
Even more exciting stuff. Let's see. We've got the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, again, is inviting the public to view an ageless craft. Historic and modern Pueblo pottery exhibit is going to open Saturday, June 8th at the museum. And this will display the work of potters from the from most of the Rio Grande and Western Pueblos, including Maria Martinez, who is probably one of the, to me, is one of the most famous potters known of that area. I even have a piece of her pottery. And she's from the San Ildefonso Pueblo area, the Nampeo family of the first Mesa, their Hopis, and also Albert Alvidrez of Isleta del Sur. So this is a great exhibit. It's going to be running through 2020. So if you got a chance, head out there for the opening. It should be a great event. And it's the Archaeology Museum, and you can check them out on their website at thearchaeology.elpasotexas.gov or their Facebook page.
You mentioned the potter Albert Alvidrez.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know his history?
Oh, yeah.
He was the governor of the Tiguas.
Oh, yeah. And this is from his collection.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
I've sat there watching him paint. How does he do that? Little tiny lines and he doesn't get them wrong?
Yeah, a lot of this
He gets them wrong, he didn't show us those.
Yeah. But this is the Hopi, the Maria's pottery, her family, and the Napeo family. They go way back into the 1800s and turn of the century.
Interesting stuff. Okay. Yeah. We're talking Alamogordo history and the area thereof. Tommy Harrell's here. Joe Lewandowski is here. And on the phone we have Liz. Liz is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Being an El Paso native and going through to Ruidoso and all that area, Cloud Crop, I've always wondered, without taking too much of your time, who was Doña Ana? You know, Doña Ana County, it's a huge county apparently. Who was she?
Well, Doña Ana is over in Las Cruces, not in El Mundo.
But this,
so do you guys know that?
Yeah, but up to 1899, Otero County was Doña Ana County.
Oh, the whole thing was?
Yeah, the whole thing was.
So where you are now was Doña Ana?
Yes.
Okay, so you know the drill. What's the answer?
I don't know about Doña Ana County because I know about Otero County, but I wasn't alive back in 1899 when that happened. But but she's right. That all was Doña Ana County, and then it broke apart in 1899. It became Otero when Governor Otero, Miguel Otero, was the governor of the territory.
Your part became Otero under some sort of deal.
There was separating the two. It was part of the. It was still territory. It wasn't actually a state.
Oh, that's right.
State didn't come in until 1912.
Well, yeah.
So it was Miguel Antonio Otero was the governor appointed by President McKinley, and he was the governor from 1897 to 1906. And it was a Republican and a Democrat issue, believe it or not, all the way back then.
All right, we're going to have somebody from Las Cruces to call us.
I have the answer.
Oh, did you look it up?
Yes,
what do you have?
I did. Well, Doña is a Spanish term for kind of like Madame, as Don is for gentleman or sir. It's a well-loved name. And Doña Ana Robledo.
Oh, Robledo, yes.
Robledo. She died when they were fleeing in 1680 from the Pueblo Revolt.
Oh, she's the one. Because that mountain range is named Robledo Mountains.
That's right.
Ah, there you go.
That's where it came from. I love the internet.
She's an ancient person that in the 1680 time.
Yes.
Thank you.
And she was apparently very loved by the people. So
all right, Liz, you've got a researcher.
There's your answer.
A live researcher on your
now,
hands
do I
here.
Win, do I win a Pepe's certificate? Do Liz and I win Pueblos?
No.
we got lunch together.
Liz has to give you a Pepe's certificate.
Oh, there you go. Liz, you have to buy me lunch now.
And Liz is going to click off.
There you go.
Liz, thank you anyway.
Thanks for listening,
you're
Liz.
Good. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was a crazy thing.
Dang it.
Let's try Raul. We got Raul on the phone now. What's up, dude?
Hey, well, I've been traveling through Alamogordo for many years on our way to camping in the Lincoln National Forest.
Oh, yeah.
El Pasoans are so blessed to have this beautiful sky island only a 2-hour car ride from town.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just a couple of questions for your guests
here.
When did the Native Americans arrive in the Sacramento Mountains?
I'm not sure. Most of this whole area has been controlled by the Apaches nations for quite some time. We really never had any Pueblos until recently. We noticed that we found something. It was from the 600 to 800 AD, which is the Creekside Village. It's being worked on by the Hernando Research right now.
But how long did the Apaches take over? They owned the mountain. How'd they get it?
I don't really know when they
Tommy?
They broke that area.
The rumor is that they were part of the Apache clan that was all over New Mexico and even into western or eastern Arizona.
Right.
And so it was part of a renegade group that spun off and that was the Mescalero Apaches. And so when the Pueblos or when the reservations were set up in the early 1900s, I think the government at that time took that band when they quit finding the white man and so forth over the territory and finally give them that portion of land in the Mescalero Reservation in the middle of Lincoln National Forest.
Well, see, they got the best deal of any Indians you can find.
Yeah, it's about 400,000 acres that they acquired, and they're a sovereign nation within the Lincoln National Forest, but they actually acquired that line before there was the National Forest that happened in 1917.
Raul, apparently they've been kind of inherent in the New Mexico area for quite a while. The fact that they got the land legally through the federal government is amazing because there were people trying to get it away from them. I believe Fountain was one of them. Some of those guys back in that area who had land up against the mountain.
Oh, they always wanted to. Once that had happened, it always wanted it because it was prime land with water, the trees, the lumber, the environment, the coolness, and everything. But that had already been designated. And there's more than one tribe up there, actually. It's not just the Mescaleros. The Chiricahua and Mescaleros. And the other one I can't recall.
Well, Geronimo was not a Mescalero Apache.
No, he wasn't Mescalero.
But he's associated with that crowd up there.
His nephew used to come down to the plaza all the time.
Oh.
And actually come down, him and his wife. And the Mescaleros used to come all the time and come down. The Apaches would come down.
So, Raul, that's an ancient history there. And it's continuing, obviously. Thank you.
When did the Spaniards arrive?
16.
Well, basically, the first real in the basin, there was no water or nothing really of any consequence that anybody wanted there. So the first one that we know of that anything occurred was 1719, when the monks came and set up the Our Lady of the Light in La Luz, the church that still stands there, and the plaza there. Now, as far as it turning into a small village and all that, they didn't happen until 1864.
So 1719?
1719 is the first we have. Now, they rode through there.
Oh, yeah. They
went
all
over
the
to the salt flats and got the salt and everything like that, but because of the harshness of the area, the marauding of the Apaches and so on, no one ever really tried to settle any of that. In fact, that La Luz was actually set up because it was, as you said, a pathway through the mountains to get to the other side, to the east side of the mountains.
Raul, does that answer some of your question?
Yeah, I've got two more, if it's all right.
Go for it. What do you got?
Okay. What portion to the Sacramento, what percentage constitutes the Lincoln National Forest?
Oh, you look on a map, man. Who knows?
Well, the thing about Otero County, which makes it difficult for us there, is that federal land is 80% of Otero County, from the military reservation to the Apache reservation, the Forest Service, the BLM, state land. It's only about 20%.
What is
that? Department of Defense.
Oh, yeah.
Defense. So when you got all that, only about 20% of Otero is actually private land. It's a very small strip.
Well, actually, it's less than 12%.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So private land that's in the county. So that's the reason our tax base and so forth in the county. I mean, we're a county that covers roughly 66,000 square miles, and that's a lot of territory.
That's huge.
But,
Raul, you got one more relevant question?
Well, just something you mentioned. You said that the Mescalero Apaches own 400,000 acres. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
affirmative.
That's about the same size as the White Sands National Monument is about the same size as 400,000.
Well, you're correct that they lucked out because the way Indians were being treated back in that day, they weren't getting a lot of luck, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And then they got to have casinos. Now they got the real money.
They got a double whammy on that one.
And now look who's in charge,
now,
right?
I hope they never find oil and gas. Now, I was going to say, well, then they can find out, but we don't want that to happen.
But that's New Mexico. They could. So, all right. Thanks for calling, dude.
A little interesting scenario.
Sure.
And most people don't realize this, but you can check this out through the Bureau of Mines and so forth of the state of New Mexico, but there are over 100 oil wells registered in Otero County.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so there is a lot of natural resource richness in the Otero County, not only oil, but gas and rare earth minerals and so forth. So these are some of the things I won't be around in this lifetime when it comes about, but you'll see probably a big spurt and natural resource development in Otero County in the next 50 to 100 years.
They just did a research recently on natural gas up in the northeast corner, I think, didn't they? Find a lot of natural gas resources.
Line one. I'm just calling attention to the fact that line one is ringing. But the Otero Mesa, that extends down into right into El Paso area almost.
Oh, yes. In other words, that's one of the big big basins as far as water is the Otero Mesa, but there's been some actual core drilling out there as far as they're finding, you know, as far as resources out in that area. So there's a lot of it out there.
Well, we were talking about the museum earlier, and one of the things I thought was fascinating is the fact that you've mentioned the La Luz. You know, the church was there, and that's where the Indians used to go. But now your church, you've got some land recently that was donated or in the past.
No, not the church. Their museum.
No. I'm talking about the museum. But
right, church.
I'm not done yet. You were talking about the church where the La Luz Indians used to go. So let me clarify that. But you had some land recently donated to you that has something to do with the La Luz pottery that you're used that is used to help support the museum?
Well, actually, doesn't generate any revenues to support the museum. It's the other way around, the Historical Society supporting the pottery. But you're right. In 2012, a gentleman, Ray Graham, donated the property, 215 acres approximately, to the Historical Society. He basically just wanted to make sure it was preserved because the buildings were there, the kilns are there, and all that stuff was there. Now, it was overgrown, and it needed a lot of care, and we went in and did that. But, yeah, in 2012, Mr. Graham donated the property to us historically, and when we asked him why he was doing that, he said, if I give it to the county, you know, they'll protect it historically, but they'll never spend any money on it. It'll eventually just fall down completely. If he sells it to somebody, puts it in the deed that you can't subdivide it or whatever, some good attorney someday will break that. It'll turn into a subdivision. So you're my only option. So 215 of prime La Luz Canyon. It's not. It's actually up in the canyon there.
Does it do you any good?
Well, yeah, because it has. It had a lot of the history. It's pretty famous as far as, you know, back in the 30s when it started. The La Luz Pottery was pretty famous because, I mean, they even had a store selling out of New York City on Fifth Avenue. They sold to 9 different countries and all over the country.
So, are you going to crank that back up?
Oh, no. No, not with EPA and OSHA.
Never mind.
No, no way. Yeah, really.
But we ought to mention the La Luz Pottery, in other words, when that was formed and so forth. And it now there's an emblem that's actually the La Luz Pottery, what would you call it?
Trademark.
And if you find any of that pottery today, it's being sold on the internet and so forth, and eBay and so forth, but it's getting very, very popular and very expensive.
So you may have an asset there.
Well, cool. We don't have that much of it other than what's been donated to us, but which we'll never sell.
Well, send him out and looking for Atari games. Go out and look for pottery. You'll find some buried out there.
And, it's not buried. I mean, it's just used.
I'm kidding about that.
But this is one of the big attractions that's in the museum is the pottery location, yeah. And gives you some idea of the magazines and the everything that was used.
We need to take a break. You got a quick question?
Yeah. To me, I was just going to make a comment. It also adds to the potential for donations to your museum for the collection, too.
Exactly.
Interesting. So. We got Art on the phone. We're going to ask Art to hold because we got to take a break here. 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply.
What will you learn when you start your degree online with Arizona State University? You'll learn that you're capable of more than you know, that you can accomplish anything with the right people in your corner. You'll learn that a crazy idea that seemed impossible is possible, and that inspiration is the greatest motivation. Learn how an ASU degree can unlock your potential. Text SCHOOL to 66597 and discover the more than 150 degree options that can be accessed from anywhere on your schedule. ASU Online includes an entire team of professors and advisors dedicated to helping you discover your own path and create your own opportunities. Unlock your potential today with Arizona State University Online. Learn more about Arizona State University degrees offered 100% online. Text SCHOOL to 66597. That's SCHOOL to 66597.
Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're back again. We got Art on the phone coming up in a second. Just to let you know, we've got some interesting things in Duranguito have just appeared. Speaking about Apaches. It turns out that Duranguito, which is in downtown El Paso under contention for historical issues, once upon a time was a camp of 300 or so Apache Indians attached to the Spanish. That history is also down under the ground. We'll hear more about that as we get closer to it. You got something real quick there?
Well, when you get out-of-town visitors, don't forget to take them down to McGoffin State Historic Site. And if you're looking for a place for kids to 6 years and older to play in the mud creatively, you can take them down to the McGoffin Home where they can learn to build an adobe home.
I want one.
I know. They can build another house. The kids' adobe class is building with dirt, and they can learn to build miniature adobe homes. And the class is only $10. And they have other fun events down there at the McGoffin House. You can reserve a space for cooking classes, yoga, making things, book clubs. They've got some wonderful things. Visit their website, visitmcgoffinhome.com, and it's down at 1117 McGoffin Avenue.
We got Tularosa on the brain, Alma Gorda, and we got on the phone here a guy named Art. Thanks for holding, Art.
Art.
Yes, good morning.
I just want to throw my two cents in about the Mesquite Apache Reservation.
Okay.
Probably they got so much land in that time is because it was all mountainous and couldn't be used for farming or ranching, and that's probably why they got so much land. But it's beautiful up there.
It is.
I've gone to the camping site, mm-hmm. and where two rivers meet, and it's beautiful. Yeah,
it really is. You're right. But the point was in the politics of the day, how they got it. It was, and they do have it, so that's what we got.
And that's exactly what happened. You got to remember that time, late 1800s, the ranchers controlled everything. The ranchers didn't want to have to go looking for their cattle through the hills. It's easier to find them out in the basin where you can see across the basin.
So it worked out.
And it was a lot more grass in that area at that time.
There you go.
So he's exactly right. They didn't really care that much about the mountains in those days.
And now they do. Thanks for calling, Art. You take care.
Hey, one more thing. One more thing. I want to thank the state of Texas for ponying up the $15 million to fix the tramway. I'm really excited about that.
Well, they started out with five. Let's see how far they get. Yeah, they've agreed. They put in $5 million now on this legislation. Let's see when it's a start. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's a start. It's a start.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's a start, Art.
At least they
Thanks.
Did something.
It's a start, Art. There we go. Okay, where were we? We were going someplace special here. Where was it? Did you want to finish?
Pepe's.
No. Oh, that's right. Pepe's.
Pepe's
what
special.
What is this special?
So I'm going to pick out the red cheese enchiladas.
Red cheese enchiladas.
I mean, that is the basic for every Mexican restaurant in the
country.
And
this is New Mexican food. So.
Right. So
This is the Griggs tradition. It came down from Las Cruces to El Paso on that side of those mountains. So again, the special at Pepe's today is?
Red cheese enchiladas.
Red cheese enchiladas. All right. Good stuff. And we'll be out there in a little while and having some of that. We got another hour to talk about Alamogordo, and we're not going to get it all in.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the people that area that they highlight in the museum and their oral history program.
Things going on in that museum you would not believe. And the Atari, did we finish the Atari? We didn't quite finish the Atari. You got 30 seconds.
Basically, it was just a strange urban legend that came up because of the internet. It started a lot of people talking on the internet, and I was involved with it back then because I owned the garbage company then.
Oh, you do the garbage?
Yeah. You were the garbage man.
You didn't tell me that.
And so I knew it was there, but the internet went crazy over it all during that time period that it never happened because Atari denied it ever happened.
Did you make any money for the museum or somebody?
Basically, my wife and I, we dug them up, sold them on eBay. 800 of them sold for $107,000. But the money was all split up, $20,000 to the library, $20,000 to the police, $25,000 to the zoo, and $20,000 to the museum.
It's a way to fund a city.
Taking a break here for this hour. We'll see you guys after the news. Come back and join us.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PROUD to 79-